welcome to the Coach Louisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Louisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Louisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lilisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LilisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Louisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today, Monday, marvelous Mondays, right here on Blog Talk Radio with Coach Louisa. I am your humble, gracious host, and so excited about our topic today, because I know that this topic is going to help so many people. Embracing change. Embracing change. Well, we're going to be talking this morning about change. How do you handle change when it comes into your life? Do you want to know some tips and some tools and some strategies for handling change? You know, we all have to deal with change. You know, they say change is inevitable. Change is the only thing that doesn't change, because there will always be change. It's the one thing that's permanent, rather, is change. It will always stay the same. It won't change. There will always be change. You always have to change something. I mean, people go through changes every single day. Some people are single and they get married. Wow, that's a humongous change. Some people do not have children, and then they all of a sudden you have children. That's a great change. Even people who are changing at different stages in their life. You see, we go from being babies to being boys and girls, and then we become adolescents. Next thing you know, we're teenagers, and then we're young adults, and we're adults, we're mature adults, and then we are senior adults. Look at all of these various changes. And then what about the changes in our careers? Many people today change careers often, more often than times past. How are we handling these changes? What about the changes that come about that we don't want? Changes that are forced on us every 4 years when we are 8 years at the most. 8 years, we elect in the United States a new government. You're talking about more change. And that's on a national level. But even at our local levels and our state levels, we find change when a new government or a new administration comes into play. Same thing in the economy. for probably the last couple of years now, we've all had to make changes due to one of the economic behaviors, which is a recession. When the economy behaves that way, people have to deal with change. So we're going to be talking this morning about how you handle change. So I want to welcome you to the show. If it's your first time tuning in, we certainly are glad that you decided to tune in to this show on this morning. And we welcome you to tune in each and every morning, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We certainly welcome all of our guests in the chat room. I see you there, Mr. Paul. Great, great, great. Congratulations to you, Mr. Paul, on your this endeavor that you're going to be taking 3 days in Las Vegas. Wow, in November. Oh, my goodness. Awesome, awesome for a three-day concert and budget planning and casting for a new audiobook. And so, yes, you are very good at that. I did get a chance to listen to the one you sent me. Wow. And you did all of that. That is truly, truly some great work. And so you say you're going to be stepping up to the next level of business. Congratulations. It sounds like you're having fun. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to really enjoy life and have fun doing what you love. Oh, my goodness. Waking up each and every day excited about what the day might bring because you have chosen, you have decided to find what's in your heart, look at what your passion is, line it up with your skills, your talents, your abilities, and your gifts, intertwine that all together and roll it back out, you know, push it back out to the universe and look at that. You get to do every single day what your heart desires. I tell you, there's no higher level of living than that. There's no amount of money that can replace the fact that you are so in sync and in tune with what you love to do, the thing that you were created to do, utilizing all your gifts and your skills and your talents. Now, for some people to get there, it's going to take this concept that we're talking about today, embracing change. Now, research shows that change is very difficult for a lot of people. You know, for some of us, it's very easy. So those are the different, you know, the different ways to handle change. For some people, it's very easy to embrace change. It's very natural for them. And then for others, it's very difficult for them to change. And actually, they become paralyzed to changing, and they actually absolutely won't change. And sometimes it can be a very destructive, hard role for people who don't want to change, who stay stuck in situations because they fear. Some people actually fear change, and which is the reason they resist it. And let's kind of, you know, dig a little bit deeper to see what exactly are people afraid of? What are they fearing when they resist change? You know, we see this on the job. We see this within companies when a new project or a new product or a new policy is implemented. A lot of times people will reject it. And a lot of times it is due to fear. You know, people don't want to go to something that's unknown. They fear the unknown. And maybe this is something that, you know, set in or got started when they were very young. And it's a belief system. It's a belief system that when you don't know what's ahead of you, then that you should be fearful. And sometimes it's just something that we learned very early in life, and we believed it, and it became a part of our psyche. It became a part of our scheme of the way we think and the way we behave. But you can do something different. You can absolutely change your way of thinking. But again, some people resist changing their way of thinking for fear. Fear that they're not going to be happy with the new way of thinking. Fearful that this new thought pattern is not going to produce for them the joy or the peace that they think they're experiencing now. But in actuality, if you don't embrace change, you could become extinct. And just so happened, there's a man, a doctor actually, an MD, some of you may be aware of this person, Dr. Spencer Johnson, who actually wrote a book called Who Moved My Cheese? Mr. Spencer Johnson, Dr. Spencer Johnson, a medical doctor at that, he actually wrote a book entitled Who Moved My Cheese? Now, if you have not read his book, I would urge you to purchase the book. You could get the book today for probably somewhere around $5. You'd be surprised. Now, this book has been out for a while. This is not a brand new book by no means. I believe he initially wrote this book somewhere around 1998. I know we actually use the book in graduate school. They do teach this book in a lot of colleges. A lot of companies teach on this principle of embracing change. And one of the reasons they use it is because it's very simple. It's very simple to understand and to grasp. And also, the book uses some funny characters that people can identify with. They use two little mice and two little people. And then the names that these little mice and little people have, it's funny. So it's like it's not necessarily a cartoon, but it's like a cartoon, but it has very, very, very powerful teaching in it. And so I'll tell you the names of these little funny characters, because I think the names are so cute. So the two little mice, they're called Sniff and Scurry. Yeah, Sniff and Scurry. Like Scurry, Scurry, Hurry, Hurry, and Sniff, Sniff. That's so funny, and I absolutely love this story. It's too cute, these two little mice. And these two little people, him and Haw. You remember people say, oh, they're just him and Haw. In other words, they're kind of stuck. They're him and Haw. They won't make a decision. They won't advance forward. They won't, you know, go ahead. So they're him and they're Haw. And so I thought that was too cute. So the two little people are him and Haw. And then the two little mice are Sniff and Scurry. And, you know, anybody, if you ever see a mice, they kind of hurry and scurry. So the names absolutely fit them. And people, there are a lot of people. Do you have anybody around you that are always hemming and hawing? They don't want to make a change. They don't want to move forward. What about the people in your job? What about the people in your household? What about your friends and associates? How easy do they embrace change? Now, look at, okay, so we could think about people in our jobs and our coworkers and what have you, or people that work for us. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe you're an entrepreneur. Maybe you're an entrepreneur. And you have people that work around you, or our staff that works on your team, or people that work under you that you are leading. How are they? But what about you? What about you? How well do you embrace change? Good morning, good morning, Mr. J. Early. Good morning, and he's up early. Well, actually, it's not so early there because I believe it's about 4:30 p.m. Well, where Mr. Paul is, he's about 12:30 a.m., 12 o'clock or 12:30 a.m. in the morning. He's calling all the way from Japan. Wonderful, wonderful, great. But I know he's going to be traveling soon to the United States. And so we welcome you back home, Mr. Paul. Awesome. So, and Mr. J, Mr. Paul, great, great, great. They're chatted up in the chat room. I think you guys got a lot to share. Now, listen, Here we oh, good morning, and welcome, Randy. Welcome to the show. If it's your first time tuning in, welcome to all of our friends and colleagues and people on the switchboard. So we're talking this morning about race, embracing change, and how many of you have actually read the book, Who Moved My Cheese, by Spencer Johnson? No doubt most of you have read the book. If you haven't, I absolutely urge you to get a copy of the book, either purchase it for a little of nothing, or you can absolutely go to the internet and you can find e-book. You can find it in an e-book to absolutely read that. So I'm going to see how many people in the chat room have actually read the book, Who Moved My Cheese, because he really, really outlines, okay, what time is it over there? Okay, it's 8 p.m. in Japan. Okay, I thought it was around 12:30. Okay, awesome, Paul. Thank you for that correction. So it's about 8 o'clock at night in Japan. Awesome, awesome. Say hello to my Tokyo friend. And you said that, and then Mr. J, I think it's around 4 o'clock in Germany. I got to get these time zones correct, people. So help me with that. But anyway, back to embracing change. How do you embrace change? Now, not only do we want to learn how to embrace change for ourselves, but we want to be able to help all the people that are around us. You know, all the people that are around me, from my spouse to my children, my grandchildren, my neighbors, my coworkers, my partners, my associates, people that I'm dealing with on a regular basis, and absolutely all of my clients, all the people that I coach, I want to be able to help them to embrace change. Because I have learned that, you know, in terms of my success, that has been one of the number one keys to my success, was embracing change. You know, I remember when I dropped out of high school, I was very tempted, and this was in 1973, I dropped out of high school in 1973. I should have graduated in 74. I was slated, if I had, you know, kept going, right, kept going, I would have graduated in 1974. But I dropped out of school in 1973, which created this ripple effect of, not finishing things. But one of the things I noticed about dropping, going to the 12th grade, and I had already, you know, gone from grade to grade to grade. At every grade, there's a new change. So I had already gone through it, but somehow when I got to be a junior, I got paralyzed, and I couldn't see how to make the next advance. There was fear there. And I wasn't able to do what I needed to do to get to the 12th grade. And so I settled for staying right there at that level, at that junior level. And so that's back in 73. This is 2010. So you're talking about what's almost 40 years ago. So I'm really wanting, this has been a long time coming. So I really want to help people, because if I'm so, passionate about being stuck. And then I got stuck in this place where I began to then give up. And so then by the time I was age 23, I went into the military. Same thing. I did 1 year. I was able to advance to 2 years. But when it was time for me to go to that third year, there again, I got stuck and was not able to embrace the change of what it would have meant to be, have completed my third year, to be at that senior level in my rank. For that time, I was an E4. I had advanced to an E4, which is third level petty officer, but it was like advancing. And so, this was very interesting and very scary to me. So I really want to help people who may be struggling with change. Now, let's look at our finances. There are some people who are not able to embrace being a millionaire. And I know, Mr. J, earlier you talk a lot about this because you have Millionaires in Motion. You actually have a talk show that helped people become millionaires. But I suspect that you get a lot of callers and you have a lot of people who tune into your show who are struggling with embracing this next level in their life, becoming a millionaire. They get stuck in having, you know, even just enough money. They don't want to go to the level of where they have more than enough. And that's a problem. That's a problem. We have to learn how to embrace, if we're going to go to the next levels in our life, we have to learn how to embrace change. And one of the big hindrances to embracing change is one of the things that is in the center of change that makes it so difficult for a lot of people to accept is the unknown. And we said earlier that a lot of people fear what they don't know. And see, here's the thing. In order to go into the thing that you don't know, in order to really embrace that change, you have to have this ingredient. You have to have faith. See, faith will allow you to go into the unknown. It will allow you to embrace change. Now, some of you remember the story of Sarah, who was barren and could not get pregnant. And so when she was told that she would get pregnant, she did not want to accept that because that meant change. It meant the unknown, and she didn't have the faith to believe it. But once her faith increased, and then she was able to conceive, and she was able to accept it. So the first thing you need, if you're going to embrace change, so that you can really be fruitful and you can have the abundance you can have, whether it's millions, whether you just go into a higher position in your company, whether you're in your personal life, if you're single. There are a lot of single people. And I know this for a fact because I've talked to some people. There are a lot of single people who they desire to be married, but they can't embrace the change that marriage would bring. Okay, thanks, Jay. I'm just getting back to the chat room. Okay, it's 1:16 in the morning there. In the afternoon, sorry. Awesome. Well, to you, Mr. Jay, good afternoon. And welcome also to Sylvia. Good morning, and welcome to the show. This is Coach Larissa. I'm talking this morning about embracing change. If it's your first time tuning into the show, we welcome you here. Well, we're talking about embracing change this morning because I'm actually doing a workshop later on today entitled Who Moved My Cheese? And it's based on the book by Dr. Spencer Johnson, a medical Johnson. And I was asking those of you in the chat room, if you've read the book, if you could just type in yes or no, if you're able to. Some people, I know you're listening and doing other things. You're doing like I do most of the time, multitask. So you may be not able to type in, and that's okay too. But a lot of people have read the book. Actually, over 2 million people have read this book. And all the major companies like the Procter & Gamble and GM, IBM, all the major pharmaceuticals, the Johnson & Johnson's, all these major, major factories, car manufacturers, clothing manufacturers, all the big companies and very small companies as well, they have required this reading of all of their leadership. Absolutely. All their leaders have had to read this book. They've had to attend workshops because in companies, you absolutely have to be astute and you have to be, you have to be keen. Yes, okay, Paul, I figured you had read it. And Mr. J, absolutely. Again, most leaders, most people who are embracing change have already read the book and certainly could have written the book probably or something very similar because you are already probably in the change mindset. But a lot of people, even though they've read the book, as I did, when it first came out, because, again, during the time the book came out, I was in graduate school, and this was a book that we used in our graduate program. And, again, it's a book that they also make college students read as well. As a matter of fact, they actually have, they have adapted the teaching even to children. Believe it or not, you would think, well, why would you teach a little child change? But nowadays you have to think about the family where the parents separate and even divorce. Now that child has to deal with great change. Or think about the child who loses a loved one. There are some children that their whole lives change, even if they were to lose a pet that they really, really adored and admired and took care of. So that makes good sense that you would want to teach children about change and how to embrace change. Why? Because change is inevitable. Change is inevitable. Oh, good morning, good morning. Guest number 4712, they are on the East Coast. Yes, okay, we are right here on the East Coast. And so welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. And again, you can get the book for a little of nothing if you need to reread it, if you're dealing with some change. A lot of people in their relationships have to deal with change. What if your spouse or another family member takes on a new job? What if there are some people who have to move to another part of the country? Look at you, Mr. Paul, moving from the West Coast to Japan. Oh, I bet you had to deal with a lot of changes in that move. And also, you, Mr. J, who is living in Germany, who actually, I believe you're from the New Jersey area. And so what a great change. And today, there's so much change, and change is happening so fast and so rapidly that, you know, we really want to be able to grasp change. And so we were looking at, in this book, in those four little characters, and in the book, Dr. Johnson, what he explains and teaches is how that if people don't change, you could really mess yourself up, you know. And some people, they don't change, they don't want to change because they fear the unknown. And the only reason people really fear the unknown, I mean, the thing is, it is unknown. You don't know it. Nobody knows it. That's why it's called the unknown. So it's not like, you know, there's something wrong with you because you don't know the future. Nobody knows it, okay? But everyone can plan for it. You don't have to know the future, okay? Because here's the thing. If I go to sleep and I wake up, I'm already in the future. So the future is going to happen. Like somebody said, nobody creates the day. God creates the day. You can't make the day. You can't stop the day. The only thing, now, some people, sure, they can take their life and not see the next day. That is absolutely true. And things could happen that could hinder you from seeing the next day. But as far as you know, if you go to bed, you're going to wake up and the future is there. So here's another key. So he said the first key to embracing change is having faith. Because faith will let you be at peace with the unknown. See, a lot of people, they have no peace and because they fear the unknown. But when you have faith, it will allow you to be at peace with the things you don't know, okay? Remember Peter, when he had to walk out on the water, what it took for Peter to do that was his faith had to be increased. He had to launch his faith like a rocket. Oh, he's shooting up to the moon. And that's what you have to do. You have to launch your faith like a rocket so that you can move forward and do things that you've never done before. I was in the chat room earlier at the beginning of the show talking with Mr. Paul, and he's about to embark on another audio book. And I'm sure that every time he does another one, he has to take his faith. His faith has to go before him because, again, when you start a new project, there's a lot of unknowns. When you're working with different people, you don't know how they're going to react to you. You don't know. So you need faith. We had a conference over the weekend. You know, it took faith to put that conference together. You don't know. On the day of the event, you don't know. You don't know if anybody's going to show up. You don't know if everything's going to go right. You don't know if the sound system's going to work. You don't know if the caterers are going to show up. There's a lot of unknowns. And so some people are letting the unknown hold them back. And I'm here today to say and to empower you, to push you into your faith, accepting the unknown. Now, here's another thing that you can do as well when it comes to change. Sit down and make a plan. In other words, stay ahead of the unknown. Stay ahead of the change. Don't wait for change to happen. You make it happen. Make change happen. Okay, change is going to happen anyway, but one of the ways to really embrace it and to master it is to stay ahead of it. You make the thing happen. You know, we said, just like this morning, I had to make a change. I had to go from laying there in the bed and not wanting to get up. How many of you ever do that? You lay in the bed and you just want to keep laying there. You know, I don't know why they make beds so comfortable, but they make them so comfortable and you just don't want to get out of them. But so here you got to make that transition. You got to make that change from laying in this comfortable spot to getting up. Now, yes, once I get up, I'm going to find my new comfortable spot. But while I'm laying there, it's the unknown. And so we lay there and we start thinking about all the things that we want to do when we get up. Oh, we're going to get on the call. It's going to be empowering. It's going to be motivating. You know, we're going to be in the chat room with some familiar people. We're going to have people on the switchboard. So, you start envisioning all the great things that are going to happen when you get up. And all of a sudden, you're out that bed and you're on your way and you're right in the midst of change. Well, this is the same thing that can happen with your career. If you have to make a change, you know, don't wait until the company closes, all right? You have to, some people say, well, how in the world, you know, would I know that a company is going to close, Coach LaLisa? I can't know that. That's the unknown, right? Right, right? That's what you're thinking, right? Well, that's the same thing that the two little mice and the two little people thought, him and Haw and Smith and Scurry. Yeah, you don't know that the company is going to close. So what happens? You get up just like they did. Oh, by the way, if you remember the story, there was at the center of the story, there's cheese and there's a maze. There are the two little mice and the two little people in a maze finding cheese. And they find cheese and they start eating the cheese and they eat and they eat and they eat. They keep going to bed, getting up, eating the cheese, getting up, going to bed, eating the cheese. Guess what happens after a while? You got it. The cheese is gone. So the one morning they get up and they go to eat the cheese and there's no more cheese. Oh, my God, what do you do? Do you freeze up like I did when I was dropping out of school and just freezed up and couldn't go to the next level because I couldn't see where it was taking me? I knew what school represented, but I didn't know what the future beyond school represented, so I froze up. In the same way with these two little mice and the two little people. There was no cheese, so they kind of just froze up. But two little mice, they did what their namesake. They sniffed and scurried on away, whereas two little people did what their namesake. They hemmed and they hawed and said, where's our cheese? And that's how they get the title, obviously, Who Moved My Cheese? Because at that point, they're thinking, somebody had to take it. Just like people on the job. Somebody, and you know what? This is so funny. I know some of you are laughing, like rolling on the floor laughing when I say this. Do you know that some people on the job actually will say and believe, somebody took my job. She took my promotion. She took my job. That is hilarious to me. Nobody can take, first of all, capitalize your, Y-O-U-R. If it was yours, how could somebody else take it? You know, it's not like they broke in your house and stole your TV, okay? How can someone take your, first of all, if it's your job, then you should have it, or you would have it, okay? So it probably wasn't yours for various reasons. That's a whole other show as to why the job wasn't yours. But here's the point. The point is that the cheese, they thought someone had moved their cheese. And so because they thought that, they stayed around trying to figure out who moved it. And get this, they hope that somebody would bring it back. And that's really funny. Well, Hall, he kind of had a different way of looking at it. He was like, you know what? He realized, you know, there's a change going on here. Let me just make a change and get on out of here and stop standing around waiting. Let me go and start looking for some more cheese somewhere else. And that's how it is with, it's the same thing that happened, you know, at work and in relationships. There are people who suffer a great problem in their relationship, and maybe they divorce. And again, you know, sometimes in a divorce situation, the person can act like sniff and scurry. They just get up and go on to another relationship. But then someone else gets stuck, and they hem and they haw. What happened? Who did this? Why don't they fix it? Instead of getting up and doing something themselves. And so a lot of times we can have a lot of problems by not embracing change. So what are some of the things we talked about this morning? Okay, yes, okay, who moved my cheese? Oh, thank you, Mr. Paul, for repeating that in the chat room. Who moved my cheese? By Spencer Johnson. Doctor, an MD at that. He was a medical doctor. And so instead of being out there performing different surgeries and operations, he wrote this very, very powerful book. And it's comical almost. It's like a cartoon book, but it's about a very, very powerful topic that will never leave, that will never change. Change will always be around. Change is the only thing that's going to happen permanently. They say change is the only thing that is permanent. Change will always happen. And so we've already talked this morning about some of the reasons why some people don't change. One is because they fear the unknown. They fear the unknown. And some people don't want to go and do something new because they feel that it will make them look inadequate. And I've seen this happen too, and some of you probably have noticed it. When people get on the job and they're doing a particular job so well, they've been doing it for 10, 15 years, they know how to do it with their eyes closed, they can just, they're on automatic. And they go to that job every day, 10 years, day in, day out, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, year after year, month after month, for a whole decade. And they know how to do their job with their eyes closed. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, the bottom line is this, they don't have to think. And now you're talking about bringing in a new program, a new project, a new scenario, a new concept. That is going to require the person to have to do something different, which is now they have to think, whereas before they were on automatic. Right there, that is going to bring about, for some people, fear. But what we're saying today, that fear can paralyze you. It can also cause you to be broke. It can cause you to be poor. Some people are not in poverty because of their race or their religion or, you know, who their parents were or where they were brought up. Some people are poor. Some people, not everybody. Please don't twist my words. Not everybody, not every culture, not every country. I'm saying some people, S-O-M-E, people, are poor because of this problem, embracing change. That's the only reason that some people lack the finances that they need, because they will not change. They will not go into the unknown. They will not maximize and expand their little bit of faith, because everybody was given a measure of faith, but they will not maximize their faith, because you need faith to get you to the unknown. Because what happens is, in order to get the unknown, you have to just keep moving, okay? You have to keep going and into what you don't know, all right? When I moved to New Jersey from Cincinnati, Ohio, I didn't know anyone here save my one sister, who was 8 years younger than I, who, when I was 23 and left Cincinnati to go into the military, she was yet, what, 15? And so she was still in high school. We didn't have, you know, we weren't like a pally pal sisters because of our age difference. and I had a pally pal sister that was very close to me that I did everything with. So this was just my baby sister, so it wasn't like that. So I knew her, but I didn't really know her that well. So I moved to a town where I didn't know anybody, in a place like New Jersey of all, Newark, New Jersey, of all places. You come from Cincinnati, Ohio. If you know anything about the Midwest, and you move to a place like Newark, okay, big change, people, big change. How do you do by yourself? In a car with no money. In a car, I had about $15, which was enough to get me gas, because that was 1987, and at that time, gas was probably around 63 to 80 cents a gallon, and it was. And I was driving a Ford Escort. And so, you know, small car, good on gas mileage. And I drove to Newark, New Jersey with nothing. Change is going to, listen, you can maximize on your life and reach a success when you are willing to embrace change. And one of the ways to embrace change is to create it. So I could have stayed in Cincinnati where I had nothing, where I was living out of hotels, where I was, you know, I won't talk about what I had to do to get money to live in the hotel, but I wasn't working. And so I had no money, and I could have stayed doing that and going to, you know, getting on welfare and doing these different things, just getting a little bit of money here and there from family members. I could have stayed doing that. But instead, I grabbed change by the reins, and I went full speed ahead, and I came to New Jersey. So that's what I'm talking about, embracing change. And so I've been on this change journey since that time, since 1987. And ever since then, I've been constantly changing and changing and changing. Hey, Jay, you got relatives where? In Newark? Newark, New Jersey. My condolences. Oh, thank you. Yes, 47. So I know. I couldn't believe it. Of all places. Also, what a welcome and good morning, Coach K. He says that failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. I absolutely agree with you. Hey, Kiva, welcome to the show this morning. We're talking about embracing change. And we also like to quote one of my favorite quotes to say is that if you want something you never had before, oh, Mr. Paul, you know what? I got to get to the switchboard more often. You're on the air, Mr. Paul. Thank you for calling in. You're on the Coach and Lisa show.
Hi, Coach. I have a very short story. You mentioned you're doing a seminar or a conference on the idea of change. And there's an interesting story. Maybe it's happened to many of us. And Steven Spielberg, I read, he has the same story. But for many of us, our first major change is going to kindergarten or our first grade. You know, we're in the home for 5 years and it's comfortable, and then we got to go to that first day of school and mix with all those kids. Well, I vividly remembered it was kindergarten, so 9 in the morning till 12, just 3 hours. My mom drove me in, and then she said, "Now you take just after the class, you take the bus home," and that'd be about a 20-minute bus ride. The bus will be right there, school bus. You just take the bus home. And I said, no, please pick me up. She says, the bus will be right. No. So anyway, I vividly remember getting out. It's only 3 hours, and this talking to this one boy, student, he says in the conversation, "Oh, are you going to take the bus home?" And I said, yeah. So 12 o'clock, I walked outside, and my mother's waiting there. And I said, "Well, you can go home because I'm taking the bus with my friend." So Steven Spielberg said the same story in an interview where, you know, same thing. He begged his mother to pick him up, and, you know, when she came, "Go home. I'm going home with my friend." So that's kind of a happy, you know, not all changes are that easy, but I'm saying that's maybe the first major change that most of us go through, and that story's probably happened to many people. So you might use that quick Steven Spielberg story for your conference.
I will, and thank you. I'm going to absolutely use that. So let me make sure I got the story right. So here you are. You're the first that major change for a lot of us. You're right. We've been at home for 4 or 5 years. Now we go off to school. And our parents, you know, we're so used to them taking us everywhere anyway. So they take us to school, and our parents are telling, the parent is saying that, I'm going to come pick you up. And no, the parent is saying,
no,
I'm not
parents just take
up.
The bus home.
The bus. And you are just so afraid of doing that because you've never done it before. You don't want to embrace that change, right?
That's right, and especially with
with
all those strange kids, too.
Sure. Who in the world would want to do that, those strangers?
Right.
Because you've been at home with all these familiar people all your life.
That's it. And then you make, you know, within that 3 hours, like Steven Spielberg said, you make friends and within that time, and you're taking the bus home with your friends. Tell your mother to go home.
And then your parent. So now what happened? Did the parent come and get them? No.
No, my mother came. Steven Spielberg's mother came. And we both sent our mothers home saying, we're taking the bus home.
Go
home, Mom.
My friends.
Yeah.
As if it was your idea.
Yeah, I don't need you. Yeah, that's exactly right. I never thought of that. As if it was my idea. That's right. So,
Yeah. But, Mr. Paul, that's how we do. Once we embrace the change and accept it, we own it now like it was my ideal after all.
That's it. Perfect. So I'll say goodbye, and I'll listen to the rest of the show on the Internet. Okay, great talking with you.
And so much. You're always calling in with these great stories. And, you know, that's the benefit of having a Hollywood movie star and producer calling to your show. Love you, Mr. Paul. Thank you. Some of you, if you just tuned in, if you've never tuned into the show before, Mr. Paul is from Hollywood. He's from California, and he's produced a lot of movies. He's directed movies and audiobooks, and he hangs out with Frank Sinatra Jr. and Greg Morris from Mission Impossible and all these other wonderful people, and he calls in with these great, great stories every time he calls into the show. We so appreciate you, Mr. Paul. Mr. Paul, thank you. I mean, we appreciate each and every one of you. Don't get it wrong. I love all of you. But I tell you, how awesome is that? I certainly didn't know Steven Spielberg's story, but you're right. That happens to so many people. And think about, now in my book, Release Your Power, and I know you're going to get your copy, and I know some of you got a copy of Mr. Paul. He did purchase a copy. Thank you, thank you. In the book, the very first chapter in the book is Choosing to Change. I tell you, I'm very passionate about this topic of change, and I actually spend a lot of time in the book talking about change. Because, again, if you're going to really release your power, if you're going to really become who you really are, you're not going to do it outside of change. Because becoming who you really are means that you have to advance, and the only way to advance is to change, like what happened with Mr. Paul and Mr. Spielberg, and I'm sure others of us, that first, you know, big outing out of the home. But even in the book, I talk about, think about, what would this world be like if there was no change? Think about that. You wouldn't be here on the phone right now. You wouldn't be on the Internet right now. That's number one, there was no change. And number two, some of you, I know we hate to think of how attached we are to our cell phones, but some of you are listening to this show via a cell phone. If there was no change, that would not be possible. Now, you could take it all the way back to, if there was no change, you would still be one day old, you know, provided that you got that far, and you'd still be drinking your milk out of the bottle. So change has been happening your whole life. You've changed from age one, and you changed from crying for your food to going out and getting your own food. So we've changed from asking our parents for money and having to rely and depend on them to going out there making it on our own. And that also, Mr. Paul, and all of those of you who are listening, that's a huge, scary change for a lot of kids. That's why you see a lot of people, 35 and 40, still living at home, depending on their parents, because they weren't taught the strategies for change, and it wasn't made clear to them. A change, and like the story that you just shared, about Mr. Frank Sinatra and yourself, of how, Steven Spielberg and yourself, that once you, you know, were thrust into the change, you then embraced it, though, because you didn't have to. You certainly could have got to school. You could have sat in the corner and said, I'm not going to meet any of these children. I'm not going to play. You could have sat in the corner and not embraced the change. You could have held on to the fact that in my house, I don't play with other kids, so I'm not going to play with these kids. And then you could have, and then when your mother would have come to get you, you would have got on that in the car. You would have gone home, you see. So we have to teach our children how to embrace change. We have to teach, if you own a business, if you have a staff working under you, you need to do this training and teach them how to embrace change. It's a must. It's a must. Oh, yeah, Mr. Thank you in the chat room there, keeping it going, Ms. Kiva and Mr. Early, talking about his change and going to the military. Well, I had that same experience. Can you imagine coming from the inner city of Cincinnati, Ohio, then going to boot camp? Okay, hello. Talk about change. Oh, my goodness. You know, I spent, you know, so, well, that movie, I don't think the movie was out yet when I went into the military with Goldie Hawn, where Private Benjamin or something like that. Yeah, it wasn't out yet, so I didn't really understand all the change that I was going to encounter. But that's where that faith can come in, where, you know, but I had both fear and faith. You know, you can have a little bit of both. I had enough faith to go into the military, which was totally the unknown. I should have been afraid to go. But yet, but I think I was always a seeker and kind of curious of the unknown. But at the same time, I got to a point then I didn't want to go to the next level, okay? And that's the same thing with money. Many of us, we have enough faith to go out there and get a job and earn a living. But we don't have enough faith to get us to that next level to where we can actually see ourselves as millionaires. Well, we can actually, now some of us can accept that we'll make $1 million over our lifetime. But many of us cannot embrace the change of lifestyle. How would my life have to change if I was a millionaire? Like if I had millions at one time, how would my life have to? There would be a great change. Okay, so we have to embrace change. So one, you got to have faith. Number two, you got to go into the unknown, and you got to make a plan. Make a little plan of how it's going to look. The next thing, and Spencer Johnson talks about this in his book, he talks about visualizing what your next level is going to look like. So in other words, let's just say you're on the job and, you know, you want to get promoted. Visualize yourself at that next level. If you visualize yourself at the next level, it's going to cause you to do something different, which in and of itself is change. When you're doing something different, that is change. Some people get stuck in that routine, in that rut of doing the same old thing because it feels good, it feels comfortable. And then they can do it with their eyes closed. They don't have to stretch themselves, you know. And so now when a change is thrown upon them, now they feel discombobulated. They feel out of sorts. They may even feel stressed. They may even get depressed. They may, you know, feel a little depression setting in. So you have to stay ahead of change, people. We have to move forward. We want to embrace change. And one of the things on the job that Spencer Johnson talks about, one of the things to do to recognize the change is coming so that you're not caught off guard when the company closes down, or you're not caught off guard when the relationship ends, or when the government comes up with a new policy or procedure or law that's going to affect your business. He says that, just like with the little mice and the little people, when the cheese was, they were eating the cheese every day, they should have noticed that it was getting less and less and less, and that sooner or later, if you keep eating it, it's going to be gone, unless someone is there supplying you with more, and that just doesn't happen. So he's saying that when it comes to our jobs, our careers, and our families, what we ought to be doing is noticing, okay? Noticing. Keep your eyes on the prize, so to speak. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Notice what's going on around you. You can notice when, you know, when the job is, if you notice the companies, you start seeing them selling off certain portions of the company, or if you start noticing that productivity is going down, what do you know? That sooner or later, this company is not going to be around. There's not many companies that can survive under low productivity unless you're an IBM or an AT&T, a bedrock type of company that's been around for thousands of years, or at least hundreds anyway, hundreds of years, and they have a lot of stockholders who can quickly take and reinvest money back into the company. But if you don't have that, then you got to realize that if the company is not being productive, that sooner or later the company's got to be gone. And so, you know, you can embrace the change that might happen by keeping your resume up to date, by continuing to go to training. Just because you get the job, I don't understand people. Just because you get the job, you don't stop going to training. Just because you start the business, you don't stop going to training. That's when you start. When you get the job, when you start the company, that's the time to train, people. That's the time to run every seminar you can. When you open a business, that's the time to purchase every book you can purchase on how to stay positive and motivated, and how to network, how to meet new people, how to embrace change, how to, how to be a leader. That's the time you want to do it, okay? Teach our children this. Well, you know, when you get it, I hear a lot of children, and they can't wait to get out of high school. And so they probably don't like talking to me because I throw change at them. I says, okay, and so you're going to college, so why are you so excited? If school ain't over, I'm not even going to let you get into that mindset, all right? Because then people start accepting the status quo, and then they don't want to change. And like Spencer Johnson, the medical doctor, says, if you don't accept change, you can become extinct. So what do you want to do? You want to make sure that you're keeping your eye on whatever your change, whatever your cheese is. You know, she says cheese represents whatever makes you happy. A house, a home, a marriage, a job, you know, career. Whatever makes you happy, that's your cheese. But notice when it's fading. Notice when it's disappearing. He also says that in the maze in the story, the maze where they were searching for the cheese, the maze represents where you go to find this thing that makes you happy, okay? So, again, it could be a company. It could be your own company. It could be in a family, all right? And here's the last question that I want to ask you before we go to help you embrace change. What would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you weren't afraid? Who would you talk to if you weren't afraid of talking to them? What company would you start if you weren't afraid? What degree would you go and achieve if you weren't afraid? What city would you visit? What state, what country would you visit if you weren't afraid? Well, thank you for tuning into the show. This is Coach Annalisa. Welcome each and every one of you. We welcome you back tomorrow. Let me just tell you what our show topic is going to be tomorrow. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about resolving conflicts at work. How to resolve conflicts at work. Now, you'll be able to use the tips and the tools and the strategies for work, your personal life, your home life, your community life. And then Wednesday, don't forget, we have author and speaker Versi L. Walker here to co-host the show with me. And Thursday, sales secrets, secrets to selling more products, to increasing that revenue. So sooner or later, we're going to have the discussion about getting a millionaire's mindset. We've got to have that discussion because the millions are coming. They're coming. They're coming. Okay, awesome. Coach Kerry, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to each and every one of you. Again, it's been great. It's been real. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. We certainly look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow. Remember, you can have whatever you so desire, whatever your heart can conceive, you can achieve it, and there ain't no stopping you now.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.